start with this scripture tonight, Romans chapter 12. It says, so here's what I want you to do, God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. So just touch your neighbor and say, your everyday life is boring. Like, I've seen you. Your Instagram is lying to you. It is boring. What God is saying there is super interesting. This is also my fourth sermon today, so it's going to get real. So is this televised? No. It's going online? It's going online. Okay, I'll be careful. What that means is, it's so interesting that we get into this your everyday life. You're like walking around. You're eating like the boring parts, the mundane parts. God is saying, hey, give that to me. But do you know that like an offering, maybe it didn't come from church, but an offering, once an offering was given, they used to sacrifice animals to cover for their sins. Now Jesus is the Lamb of God, the final sacrifice for sins. Not if you get it. Okay, if you don't get it, we'll. But how many people know that the offering didn't get off of the altar? Like, you don't get that back. And so what's happening here in the scripture is that God is saying, give me your walking around life, your everyday life, the boring pieces, make an offering of that. You don't get that back, but what I'll give you back is something that's way greater, and there's an importance in that the mundane parts of life. I'm going to call this, I'm kind of doing a series right now, a venue called Shock and Awe, but this sermon I'm calling Shine Wears Off. Now, I'm just going to take a stab at it here. That, have you ever lost that sense of awe and wonder for your job? Like, you used to like it, you were glad that you had it, you were grateful that you got it. You should never have got that. Like, they hadn't even met you and you got it, and God, you know, the angels put your resume on top and you're like, I got this because I'm so amazing. And God is like, you did not. And you got that job, but after a while, though, after the mundane parts of walking around in it for a while, you start realizing, like, the shine sort of wears off of it, right? Has the shine ever worn off of a relationship in your life? All the married people are like, yeah, man, she's in right here, you know? One time I lost my, because we're from the Calgary area, so I lost my sense of awe and wonder over winter. And y'all don't even get it. Here, so, but I was a tradesman, I was an electrician, and so my dad was a pastor, so that, I got a bunch of messed up stuff in my head, but my parents are great, but pastor's kids, man, something going on. But I was a very practical person. I used to do buildings, and I used to run job sites and stuff, and so that's where I came out of. We kind of started a church for people like that, and but I remember my last year in the trades world, before I was going into church world some time ago, I decided that I didn't like winter anymore. And if you're in Airdrie, that's dumb. Like, why would you decide that you don't like it? And then every day in it is awful. And it's just worse. And I went years and years and I'm working in it. And all of a sudden now it's awful and I hate it. And I told myself that I hated it. But then, what do y'all hate here? Rain? Oh, you hate rain. Don't ever tell yourself that you hate rain, right? The shine wears off of it. I worked for a company one time for over a decade, and one day I just decided I didn't like it anymore. And then everything I saw reminded me of why I didn't like it anymore. And then I moved jobs, like, with 3 months left in that career. It was a dumb move. I moved because I'm like, I want to go have fun over here, you know? And they're over here. They're like, you know, like, don't come over here. It's not fun at all. The shine wears off. What do you do? What do you do when the sign, you know, if you're dating, you ever date anybody? No, that's right. My daughters ever say yes, and that's a problem. No, but the dating, you know, when you first start dating somebody, everything's cute. You know, like, he sneezes, and you're like, oh my goodness, that's so cute. It's cute for a while. You know, she's late. You go to pick her up. This is not about me. This is somebody else. You go to pick her up on the first date, and she's like, I just need to go get a pair of boots. And then you're in the entryway, and you're still in the entryway. And you're thinking, like, after a while, an hour. an hour. And this particular person, you know, isn't blessed with patience. So that's, in dog years, that's like a year. But you're still thinking like it's kind of cute, right? But then you get married, and this same person is like, you are brilliant. You are hilarious. You know what the thing is? I'm still hilarious. I am. My material is fresh, man. I'm hilarious. And then she saw the TV shows that I watched that I stole my material from, and all of a sudden you're not funny anymore. You know what's not funny? You know what's not funny is when you have kids, and then all of a sudden guys like it. I love young people when they're dating. They're always kind of like, oh, we're dating. You know, you're in a coffee shop, and the song comes on, and they just look at each other, and they're like, oh, my goodness, this is our song. And I'm just like, I just throw up in my mouth a little bit. I'm like, your song. You know what songs you get when it's like 2 a.m. and the baby's up? I'm like, there's some songs, but not those kind of songs. Or you buy a new car, right? You buy a new car, and it's like, oh, baby, you know, it's you and me forever. Let's never fight. You know, and you pay the first month, and you're okay with it because it's all shiny, right? Or you got the new car smell, or it's new to you, right? But then because you didn't have any money, you're leasing it for like 14 years, right? And then at the end of it, you're still paying new car prices, but the car ain't new, right? The car's 14 years old. Your marriage is 14 years old. Your kid's 14 years old. The shine is off. But you're still paying new. Here's what we want, and here's what society tells you. Society right now is saying, hey, if the shine wore off and you're finding it expensive, because here's something I want to tell you, that as time goes on, it gets more expensive, and the shine is off. Society right now is like, hey, just go find somebody new, because that's the problem. Like, hey, you're tired of your kids? Go and get another family, you know? Go buy another car. Are things different here? Like, just go to a different church. Because you start going to church, and there's a sense of awe and wonder. And then you invite somebody over to your home. And then Darren comes over and eats all your food. And it's like the shine wears off. And you're like, now I got to know him. As if you told the person you married when you were dating all the things about you. Now, they found out about that later. I got so many stories. I can say it here. Right. So we go out to the Pastor Aaron's dad's farm. And I get out there and I say, we couldn't find the farm. She couldn't find her family farm. I thought that was hilarious. And she goes, the yard light was out. That's why I couldn't find it. And her dad's new wife from the kitchen pipes in, I keep telling Don to fix that light or the aliens are going to come down. And I'm like, that's hilarious. And she wasn't laughing. She apparently had an experience with aliens. Now, like, okay, I could get that would be traumatic. I would love to show compassion for that. And I'm not saying that there's not aliens. I'm just saying that was new and that happened right then. And that was a surprise to me. And we got into the car on the way back. And I'm like, that you didn't think that wasn't going to come up. You got to start with that and be like, hey, this package includes aliens. A shock and awe campaign, some of you might know this is a military term and as accurate as Wikipedia is, this is what it says. A shock and awe campaign, technically known as rapid dominance, is a military strategy based on the use of overwhelming power and spectacular displays of force to paralyze the enemy's perception of the battlefield and destroy their will to fight. So that's what the devil is doing to you. That is what the enemy of your soul, and some of you are like, I don't believe in the devil. I'm like, watch the news. Oh, my goodness. But if you ever start moving towards God, you know, the pressure from the enemy rises. Because he doesn't mind if you're out there just wandering around. All he's looking to do is isolate you. All he's looking to do is just get you into a place of like, hey, he'll promise all the pleasure. But the scriptures say that happiness belongs to the Lord. But he'll promise all the things, and he'll leave you alone for about a month. And then what happens is once it gets you isolated, then a shock and awe campaign starts against you. Particularly if you start coming to church, you start getting involved, and you start moving towards God. It's a shock and awe campaign. This is like when everything bad happens on the same day. So you ever have one of those days where, you know, you bought your kid a car and she backed it into your other car, which happened to be your car that you also bought? That hasn't happened to me yet, so not a prophecy. But then you get the phone call, and it's just one thing on top of another thing, and all of a sudden you get the diagnosis back. Or the clutch goes in your car, or things start getting shaky at work, or your best friend seems a little off. And it all starts happening on the same. See, the enemy does a shock and awe campaign against you. I'm going to show you today how I think the Lord wants to do a shock and awe campaign to return the awe and wonder to your life. Because awe and wonder are basic ingredients of connection. And you are here. People are always, I'm trying to find my purpose. You are here to connect with God and people. That is why you exist. So if you've been wondering, this is like a great place to, you know, find that. You're here to connect with God and people, and we say you can't connect with God and people till you connect somebody else with God and people, right? So, but when you lose a sense of awe and wonder, see, some of you have lost your sense of awe and wonder about God. You can be in church forever and lose your sense of awe and wonder about God. Then the boring things, the everyday life, everything starts becoming harder and harder, it feels like. I had one of those days. I'm just going to tell funny stories. Y'all okay with that? I had one of those days on Tuesday because I have a building underway here. And everything was good with my loan company. And it's a church. That's what they do, is lend money to churches. And I'm a church. We're a church. So I was dealing with that. And I was dealing with something else in the church that was really annoying me, something I cared about. And then I was dealing with that. And then I got home. Because sometimes I go and run on a treadmill to work out my anger so I don't work it out on church people. So I went home. It's 12:30. I haven't eaten yet, and that's a problem. And I was hungry, and I go downstairs, and my beautiful bride had decided to help a pastor friend of ours in Calgary, Dan and Amber, by babysitting their dog for 2 weeks so they could go to Japan. So I'm like, oh, let's do that. Let's release a bowling ball into our house. Now, the trouble is we have kind of a new dog, and her name is Daisy, and Daisy is very sweet. And Daisy hated Joey. So I go home to this. Normally, it's pretty quiet at that time of day. I go home to this. Somebody, I'm not going to say who, left the basement door open, and I go downstairs, and the dog has had diarrhea all over the floor. I'm cleaning this up. I'm on the phone. I'm trying to find co-signers. Everything had gone south in that deal, and I'm trying to figure this out. And that happened. I'm still hungry. Then somebody in Amazon dropped a package off somewhere in Airdrie, and the dogs heard a knocking on a door somewhere and freaked out. And I can't find a water bottle of to discipline them with. I'm looking all over the house while I'm on the phone, and dogs are barking, and the devil is there. And I'm like, I'm running all over the house, and I'm texting my wife at the same time. I'm like, where's the squirt bottle? And I'm running, I'm looking around the house. I go upstairs, I go outside, and she's like, it's there. It's either here or it's there. I go here, and then I go there, and it's not there. Guess where it was? Washing machine in the closet in the bathroom, because that's where we discipline dogs. So I had one of those days, right? But when you lose your sense of awe and wonder, your mind goes to funny places. And then what happens is we start thinking, like, hey, when I first started going to church, man, everything was easy. I worship. I didn't care about who was beside me. But now I go and I'm like judging the lights. And I'm like judging the pastor. And if like I was him, I'd do a lot of things. I hear that all the time. Like, if I was you, I'd do a lot of things. And I'm like, if you were me, you wouldn't have you. Pastors are hilarious. We're a little finicky. We don't like it when there's nobody. And then when God gives us a bunch of people, we don't like them either. So, you know, like, we don't like it when we have a building. We don't like it when we don't have a building. So we're a little finicky. Where am I going? Oh my goodness. Then what happens is we start thinking that it's God's job to wow me. Or if you're married, like, it's my spouse's job to wow me. Like, why aren't you wowing me? I don't feel the same way that I felt before. Is your job to wow? Or, you know, awe is amazing when you bring a baby home, a new baby home, but that wears off quick. And then they're 14 and you're like, here, hold this giant rock. That's like, wow me, like you did when you were a baby, but they don't even like you anymore. You know? And you're dealing with this thing, or your grandkids are disrespectful, or you're dealing, and your mind starts going to these kind of these weird places. Now, I'm an electrician by trade, so I just decided I want to give you guys, I want to tell you how electricity works. Is that okay? Do we have any practical people in the house? Do we have any, like, tradespeople? Farmers? Okay, everybody look at these people. If the zombies attack, if you're not close to these people, you're dead. You're going to die in your offices. That's it. It's over. Watch TV, guys. Or don't watch TV. Are you allowed to watch TV? I went into a bank building one time because all the lights were flickering and fading. So I went into the bank building, and my boss told me, just replace all the light bulbs because we can charge them for that. And I'm like, okay. So I replaced all the light bulbs, but then a couple days later, all the lights are flickering and fading. And what we found was it was a bad neutral. It was a bad neutral connection. I'm going to explain how this works. It was a bad electrical connection at the source. And so sometimes what we're doing is we're trying to fix things out past that, but the real issue is the source has been somehow disconnected. Come on, somebody's got to see where this is going. The source is somehow disconnected from your life. Now, in your house, there's two hot legs that come in. Anybody have any hot legs that come in the house? Like if you're married, I'll just heat you up there like, baby. So you have two legs that come in. There's 240 volts between the two of those. Now what we don't do is we don't pay a lot of attention to that neutral until something goes wrong with that. Because the neutral, what the neutral does, the neutral, the mundane things, the everyday things. You're making sandwiches again for the kids, again. You're not getting thanked for it. You get up and go to work again. You don't like your job. You get up, you go again because little girls' dresses cost money. You get up, you're faithful. You know, you're at work, guys, and there's somebody cute there, but you're married, and you're like, I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to look at my wife. Come on. The little mundane things that nobody thanks you for. It's like a neutral connection. But the neutral connection, what it does is it stabilizes the voltage. So everything in your house needs 120 volts, nearly everything in your house needs 120 volts. So like your computer and that thing and those things, and everything needs 120 volts, but there's two legs. And when the neutral starts getting a bad connection or gets eroded, what happens is the greatest need, because that's how power works, right? So that light, when you turn it on, is like, I need electrons. Is this helping anybody? I can get the finger puppets out if you want. I need electrons. So what it's doing is starts pulling, the greatest load starts pulling the greatest voltage, really. And so then what happens is the greatest load, which might be your kid that's in too many sports, it starts pulling 200 volts, which it can't handle, and it'll like flame out after a while. Like it'll turn on real bright for a bit, and the adrenaline's there, but then when it goes away, then all of a sudden it flames out because they weren't in the right relationships at the right time. And then what happens is your poor husband's over here, and he gets 40 volts because he's not allowed to complain about it. Because, again, I don't complain about anything in my house. I complain about stuff all the time. The neutral, what it does, it's more important. It's more important than you think. The mundane daily effort life requires actually corrodes connection over time. You think that it wouldn't, but it does. Awe and wonder bring it back. Girls, I know how some of y'all think. I live with five of you. So I'm like a psychologist who's not getting paid and not any good. But I know how you think. You're like, if I have to work at this and put some elbow grease in and get my hands dirty, I gotta forgive and again. And you married a guy. Like, what did you think this was gonna? But if I have to do that, isn't that gonna erode my sense of awe and wonder even more? It doesn't, though. Because this is what happens. Every time that a switch is closed, it's two copper plates that come together like this. So the electrons are like, the lights over here is like, I need electrons. And the copper plates, as it's coming, the electrons are like, hey, we wanna get over there. So they start jumping. It's how Earth works. They start jumping across that plate. They start jumping, and all of a sudden, boom, they're like, okay, good. Now we can run to where we need it. So now we can run to where, like, the love is. Now we can run to, but over time, see, and then it's like, and the switch, we're going to turn the light off, and the electrons are still like, I'm still running. And so there's this gap in there where there's a heat buildup. And then over time, what happens in every switch or contactor or anything that requires power that can turn on and off, what happens over time is that the surface area, I feel like I'm preaching better than you're responding here. The surface area starts to get burrs on it. It starts to get scarred with the heat. And then after time, what happens is the only thing that's connecting is the burrs. Let's say the bitterness. That's what's connecting. And the electrons are still trying to do the job, but the heat buildup has kind of scarred those plates. Now, I know that we want to be like stainless steel. We want to be tough, right? I'm a guy. I hate being soft. I hate crying publicly. I hate it. Some of y'all, see, what we would do as electricians is we'd open it up and we'd take sandpaper to it. And I think God's going to do that in somebody's life tonight, because the sandpaper of the Lord can actually return that sense of awe and wonder. But the trouble is he's got to sand those burrs off. Now, society is like, you got to be careful how much gets sanded off. It's the other person. God is like, actually, just let me sand it off, because I can build this plate stronger than it ever was before. I can give you more layers of that. But it's got to go a layer into your soul so that that connection can be strong and solid again. You know, stainless steel, you're like, hey, you can scratch me, but it's not going to hurt. You know, stainless steel is super hard. Right? I wish I was made of stainless steel or titanium. What's that song that they're always singing on The Voice? I hate. Titanium. I'm like, you're not titanium, sweetheart. I wish I was. So I wouldn't have to cry in public. So I wouldn't have to feel anything. No, it's not. You're copper. Copper is soft. Titanium, stainless steel, if its conductivity is 2.5, copper is 100. Which means you can't love without getting hurt. You can't numb yourself to love. You can't numb yourself to hate without numbing yourself to love. You're not titanium. You are made soft. You are made caring. You are made, and love hurts, and sacrifice costs, and it's risky. You have to get your head around it. And so, is this good? Is this helping you a little bit? Because I got to say, how that sandpaper works, it happens in conflict. Anybody, we got any conflict avoiders here? She knew where that was going. The rest of y'all conflict avoiders, like, if I put my hand up, are you going to, like, hate me? I'm like, what's everybody else doing? Or we have the brokenness avoiders, which is me. I like conflict. I hate brokenness. I'm a protector. I hate when my kids are under pressure. My wife is under pressure. I hate that. I want to protect you. Let me carry the cross. I hate that. I hate feeling broken. I hate connecting in brokenness. But there's a saying that you might impress people with your strength, but you connect in brokenness. You connect in those soft places and those places where God sands those. What in your life right now just needs a good sanding off? You know, because then this is what happens next, is that you start seeing people through dark keyholes. So think about it like this. You're in the room and all of a sudden the lights go up. Something happened. Maybe some tragedy, or I don't know. The lights go out. And then you find yourself on the other side of the door to a room that you used to be in that relationship at work or at home. You used to be in this relationship where, like, the lights were on and you could see each other. You heard each other. Like, you got each other. And now you're on the other side of this door and you're looking through a keyhole, but it's dark in there. And what the devil does is as you're looking through the keyhole, the other person's doing the same thing. As you're looking through the keyhole, the devil starts whispering a narrative in your ear. And he starts telling you what he sees and what he hopes that you see. And you start seeing the dark parts of that person. And then everything you see after that reminds you of the dark parts. And he whispers a story to you. And you say the story. And so then you start seeing the story. Is this? I know it hurts. Like, just deal with it. Every sermon I preach, God hurts my feelings. And I'm like, he's like, oh, you thought that you understood that? No, let me add a little pain to that so you really get it. So you really know how to love people. And there's this keyhole experience that happens. Have you ever totally misread a person? You misread me because I got tattoos. I got these in prison and then I got saved. I haven't been to jail. Funny though, guys say that to Christians all the time. You know, my mom was not crazy that I got tattoos. I love my mom. But as soon as I say, hey, I got these in prison and then I got saved, everybody relaxes about the tattoos. And then I'm like, I'm just kidding. And then they're like, they don't know what to do. They don't know how to judge me. Well, we get a lot of people baptized with tattoos. Have you ever totally misread a person? Like, the narrative that the devil told you about them wasn't true at all. Like the time I went for, I'm a pastor's kid and I'm a pastor now, so anytime anybody wants to go for coffee with me, I'm like, they're leaving the church. They're like, hey, thank you. Like, we were on our way to hell, and your church saved us and brought us to Jesus, and we love you, but we're leaving church, and we don't like you anymore. You know? And when you're a pastor of a sizable church, there's a lot of people that don't love you anymore. Every time somebody's like, I get a text, like, hey, can we go for coffee? I'm like, they're leaving the church. It's my betrayal thing I got going on. So one of my guys, he's like, hey, can we go for coffee? I'm like, he's leaving the church. I love this guy. And so we go out for coffee, and we're sitting there, and I'm trying to, like, be nice and stuff. But, you know, inwardly, I'm like, he's leaving the church. I like him so much. And he's like, actually, Pastor, I got a big inheritance. I wanted to write a check for the building fund. We got the biggest check we'd ever got before. And I'm like, I thought you were leaving. And he goes, why would I leave this church? I love it here. I'm like, I don't know. Why would you? Why would anybody? Well, people do, though, when the shine wears off. One time my wife, now I like birthday parties. I'm a party person. And I like, if it's my birthday, I don't care about your birthday party. I like birthday parties for me. I have lots of friends. I like it. And so one time she's like, hey, we're just going to go out with some friends of ours from the church. And I'm like, okay. I'm like, does she not get me? I like parties. And so I'm like, that's okay, because Scott and Renee, they're great people. They're great. I'm like, we're going for dinner with him. I'm like, okay, let's be brave, you know. I like it. And we drove past this patio in this restaurant. We walk into this restaurant. The entire patio is filled with my friends. Yeah, isn't that sweet? All day long, I'm like, she doesn't even get me. Feeling sorry for myself. But Scott, I'm having to be like, act like I like them. Listen. Today I want to tell you that there's more love in that room than you think that there is. You just can't see it anymore. You're just not connecting anymore. There's way more love in your life than you understand. Yeah, your boss has his bad days, but I'm telling you, there's something. He still likes you. There's more love in your relationships than you think that there is. We just need Jesus to turn the lights on and get us back into that room so we can actually see each other and be seen as we are. Now, somebody in this room, you're going to lose your family if we don't get our awe and our wonder back. Now, this is not something that God can do for you. You have to do work. And David, in the scriptures, I think is the best person at doing this. David, watch what he does. He says, keep me safe, O God, for I've come to you for refuge. So, like, we're starting this thing with something that you probably don't get because you're Canadian, is that he's actually, like, could die, right? He's got lots of enemies, and they have sharp swords, and they've got armies. And unless you came from someplace else, like my Rwandans, like, you don't really get it. How violent things were back then, how political it was, how hard it was. But he's like, keep me safe, God. I've come to you for refuge. What he didn't say was, I didn't go to my political advisors and my friends and my spouse. He goes, I went to you, Lord, because you're the only one who can make me safe in that place. Then he says, I said to the Lord. Now he's given us a template for it. You're my master. I don't serve anything else but you. Every good thing I have comes from you. He's reminding himself that all the good stuff comes from you. And if there's never any conflict or any brokenness, you start thinking that it's about you because you're so great. When you first start a date and you're like, she shouldn't date me, she could do better. Well, not you, baby, you couldn't do better. No, I mean, there's a sense of awe and wonder, right? That's not funny, right? She's not even laughing right now. This is what she says. I laugh on the inside. I'm like, no, it's the same thing. You can't laugh on the inside without laughing on the outside, everybody. Sorry, back to the Bible. Okay. The godly people in the land are my true heroes. The godly people in the land, the people behind the scenes who do what's right by people, whether they want them to or not. People that don't care about their image. I take pleasure in them. Troubles multiply for those who chase after other gods. I will not take part in their sacrifices of blood or even speak the names of their gods. What he's saying is it's no different in our day. He's like, yeah, being with Jesus is hard, but it's BC alternative, I'm telling you. And then the devil's like, look at me. Like, it won't cost anything over here, but it will. It'll cost you everything. He's like, people chase after other gods. People go like, boy, this God seems tough. You know why God seems tough? Because he doesn't tell lies. He doesn't lie to you to make you feel good. It's like, if it's a train coming, he calls it a train. Some of us, we're so dumb now. You know, you got a best friend who told you the truth about you one time, and you hated them for it. I'm like, you got tackled. You were playing in traffic. Getting tackled hurts. BC alternative. come on, say amen, beloved. I feel like that's good. He's like, I'm not going to medicate. I'm not going to run. I'm not going to try the next thing, hoping that the shine will come back. He's like, I'm going to stay right here with you, God. And then he says, Lord, you alone are my inheritance, my cup of blessing. You guard all that is mine. He's like, you are my inheritance, God. He goes, I remember the day that I had nothing. Because if stuff's got you, the devil can put a gun to your head and make you do stuff. If stuff's more important to you than people, if stuff's more important to you than God, oh, it's a dangerous place to be. He's like, you guard all that's mine. But really, my inheritance is you. I could lose all of this, and I still have you. I still have my inheritance, which is you, God. The land that you have given me is a pleasant land. What a wonderful inheritance. Try saying that when you're changing diapers at 2 a.m. Or when you have a brother who gets difficult because he doesn't get why you're following Jesus. They don't get why you're generous with the church. They don't get it. They don't see it. They're not living in their purpose. The land you have given me, what a wonderful inheritance. He's just reminding himself of all the wonderful things. He says, I know the Lord is always with me. I will not be shaken, for he's right beside me. No wonder my heart's glad and I rejoice. My body rests in safety. Can I tell you this? You got to decide what kind of a church you want to be. I don't know why I need to say this. Don't tell venue. I decided when we started the church, I'm like, I gotta figure out if we're trying to keep people or if we're trying to reach people. But I'm going to try to, I'm a pastor's kid. I know that making church people and keeping them happy is impossible because happiness comes from the Lord, not pastor. I'm thinking, we got a young man who got married at venue yesterday, right? Yesterday. And he's got like stage 4 cancer. We didn't think he'd make it to the wedding. So it was like 50-50. And I'm watching him get married. And I'm like, thank God we got to him in time. It cost me making some church people happy about stuff. But I'm like, thank God we got to Tyler in time. Yeah. He's in a different spot with all of this because he's like, thank God I met Jesus in time. And I've had those real conversations with him and his bride. I'm like, if you beat us to heaven, get my taco bar ready. That's for free. No, it's not for free. It's going to cost you. Do you see them out there? That used to be you. He says, you will not leave my soul among the dead or allow your Holy One to rot in the grave. You will show me the way of life, granting me the joy of your presence and the pleasures of living with you forever. What we don't like is that every electrical connection needs pressure. And we skate away from the pressure, but the further away we skate from the pressure is the further away that we get from connection. And David's like, I'm not going to abdicate this and go try to find a new land and a new family and a new church. He's like, I'm going to work it out here. He's like, God, if the pressure comes on, I just need your grace in it, and I need you to sand off these edges so that I can really connect in all of this and get my sense of awe and wonder back. And he's like, I'm going to do that part. That part's on me. Now, you can't do what God does. He is worthy of all the awe and wonder. You can't do that part, but you can look at it, and you can talk about it, and you can remind yourself of it. Why so downcast, oh my soul? Put your hope in God. That's the problem. It's not the circumstance. It's that I'm not looking at the right. Everybody sees Goliath. You got something you're struggling with right now? Everybody's got something. And Goliath, he's just too big for you to beat. And David walks in there. And he's like, that forehead, I don't think anybody could miss it. It's a different, he trained himself in the field when he was lonely. Some people, I got to say this, some of y'all single people, you think that you're going to get married so you won't be lonely. I'm like, being married can be the most lonely thing on earth. You can be in the same room with somebody. Come on, we got any married people in the house who aren't afraid of their spouses right now? Like, oh, that's not us, totally. That's not us. In the loneliness is the best time to do what David did. He's like, I'm going to see all the good things. He's like, I don't even feel like I'm part of my dad's own family. That's what he's like. All my brothers are in there. Samuel the prophet comes. looking for a king, and he's still out in the field. He's like, he's not even one of the family. Was he illegitimate? I don't know. He's like, but I will find strength in the Lord. Why so down? You know, I'm, come on, you're feeling. Now, the funny thing is, his pain, David's pain, had purpose. And Peter, on the day of Pentecost, preaches out of this scripture. And I realize, this isn't just the way that you did it, it's the way that Jesus did it. Jesus is hanging on a cross. You think there's any shine on the human race right then? He's like, I should trade this car in. He says, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, despising its shame. Why? Because he saw you. He's hanging on the cross. There ain't no shine on anything, but he works up his awe and wonder. For the joy set before him, he endures the cross. You know what's worse? The only thing worse than you going through pain is you having no purpose in pain, because someday you're going to help somebody who's experiencing that same sort of pain, and you're going to be the angel of God to that person that brings them to Christ in the midst of all of that. So, church, what do we want to do? I'm going to pray a prayer. I don't know what you want me to do. I'm just going to pray a prayer because I feel like I just feel like we probably got some bitterness in the room. How did he know? I think we all got it. I think we've all been looking through keyholes at somebody. Now, you know what that is for you. I don't know how you need to respond to that. But I'm just going to kind of pray a prayer. And as I'm praying that, would you just want to come up? And then you can close it however you want. You know the room more than I do. So, Lord, I pray that you would stand off the bitterness in our lives, the anger and the disappointment, the betrayal, the discouragement. We've been looking through that keyhole, and we've allowed the enemy to use us to judge that person. And when we just need to forgive that person, but I sort of feel like, Father, that the enemy has worked up a story that isn't even real. And we've believed it, and we've repeated it. And I pray that the Lord would show us that story. I pray the Lord would show us what that story is, so we can just kind of recant it and be like, I'm going to speak blessing over this person. I'm going to speak blessing over that relationship right now. In the name of Jesus, Lord, remove any bitterness or disappointment from our hearts. I pray that we would see that. There is so much more love in the room than we really can see and really can understand. We need the help of the Lord and the worship of God to sand off our lives so that we can really start connecting again and start seeing each other again. So that we start celebrating the brokenness, Lord God. We stop avoiding it and avoiding the conflict and realizing, like, no, this is where, like, the rubber meets the road. This is what the people around, this is what our neighbors need right now, are people with great courage. And being in this house of God with our brothers and sisters here gives us great courage, Lord. We thank you. Lord, may our hearts respond in faith.